Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Malachi, whose name means my messenger, was the last of the great Hebrew literary prophets. At the very beginning, Malachi sets forth God's love in the midst of sad ingratitude. As Mr. Overton points out in this first message of a series on the prophecy of Malachi, the prophet's message retains its relevance.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The majority of the Hebrew prophets lived and ministered in times of great change and upheavals. Malachi, by contrast, moved in a largely uneventful period. The day of miracles, as experienced by Elijah and others, appeared to have passed away long before in the history of the chosen nation. It was true, however, that a remnant had returned from the captivity, taken root once again in the land, and had completed the rebuilding of the temple. Yet the chosen leadership for that new age, Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, had passed away without any manifestation of the expected events in connection with the temple's rebuilding. The prophet Ezekiel had promised a visible manifestation of God's glory in a rebuilt temple. Generations were living and dying without seeing their expectations fulfilled. Many were cynical. There was a waning of enthusiasm and a danger of a loss of faith. Just where was the God of their fathers and the prophets? Did it really matter, after all, whether or not one continued the round of these appointed religious duties? The prophecy of Malachi bears a particular relevance to similar periods in the history of nations and the lives of individuals. Malachi reveals to us the pressures, the temptations, and the undetected erosion of faith in such times. He also points the way back into that genuine faith that enjoys fellowship with the living and unchangeable God. Indeed, God invites through his messenger Malachi men to return to him. He will not ignore their response. The prophecy opens with these words, the burden of the word of the Lord to Malachi. The word Malachi means my messenger. Who was Malachi? He does not mention his parentage, birthplace, date, or title. When precisely did he write? No one knows for certain. Yet here is his writing with an essential unity that is beyond question. Many have suggested that Malachi was an assumed or pen name of the prophet, framed for himself, and that he chose to be known only by what it designated, the messenger of the Lord. Others feel that there is not sufficient ground to state this with certainty, and since no other prophet spoke or wrote anonymously, it is reasonable to accept Malachi as the genuine name of this final literary prophet of the nation of Israel. The approximate time of Malachi's ministry, however, may be deduced from the internal evidence of his prophecy. The temple, of course, had been rebuilt, and the mention of a governor indicates the post-exilic period. The worship of the people had degenerated into mere routine. A profane and insincere attitude marked the service of the priests. Divorces and intermarriages with idolaters abounded. These were the very conditions Nehemiah and Ezra most diligently sought to correct. It is thus most probable that the prophet Malachi cooperated with Nehemiah. The message from the Lord to Israel through Malachi is called a burden. This literally pictures a heavy load to be lifted up. It also implies to lift up the voice in proclamation or prophecy. This word of the Lord always becomes a load upon the soul of the true prophet. And the Hebrew prophets possessed a certain solemnity. Most often the burden required the denouncing of the people's sins and the pronouncing upon their place of habitation a definite judgment. The object of Malachi's burden, however, was their repentance. The essence of God's message to Israel through Malachi may be summed up by the words of chapter 1 and verse 6. If I am your master, where is the honor due me? Most foundational to Malachi's prophecy is the concept of the covenant that had been initiated by God Himself with Israel. On this basis, an encounter between God and Israel occurs that is unsurpassed in the Hebrew prophets. He is their father, but also their master. The great plea is for a living and personal relationship with Himself. A nominal and easygoing form of worship is not acceptable for that fellowship with and blessing from the covenant-keeping God. This remarkable teaching of Malachi has lost none of its relevance and potency through the passing centuries. The burden which weighs on the prophet is intended to weigh on men's consciences. There is a recurring pattern throughout Malachi's prophecy that consists of an accusation by the prophet, followed by a reply of somewhat injured innocence by the people, which in turn is followed by a more explicit fault with which the people are charged. In the first chapter of Malachi, however, the beginning is not with an accusation, but rather with the announcement of the Lord's love for Israel. The essential principles that needed to be reinforced during the half century or so after the rebuilding of the temple included the distinctive love of the Lord for His people, His holiness, and His righteousness. God's word through His messenger Malachi begins, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, in what way hast thou loved us?" "I have loved you," God declares. This is more than history that is past, an old, old love all but forgotten. It is not a sad and pensive song, dead and lost. Neither is it a love recently begun. In God's proclamation, "I have loved you," all the past is there and all the urgent present. Time and eternity are linked. In relation to God's people, His love is both eternal and immediate. It is from everlasting, and yet it is like the dew of the morning. It is surely this union of the eternal and the immediate we must come to recognize and experience in the love of God. The answer of the people to the statement of God's love is ingratitude. "Yet you say, in what way hast thou loved us?" The words of the psalmist form a fitting commentary on such response. They forgot His works and wonders that He had shown them. Such reaction, however, is not an experience foreign to ourselves. It is too often the very law of the family. In spite of long years of love, support, and care, because an appeal is not answered, all the past seems forgotten. The inquiry is, "In what way have you loved?" Favor and kindnesses are forgotten in many relationships so often and so soon. The human heart without God's grace abounds with ingratitude. God's favors are taken for granted and forgotten even more. Actually, we become so familiar with His numerous blessings that we begin to claim some right to their continuance. Any seeming pause in these or the appearance of adversity causes God to be brought into question. It is a tragic situation when gratitude, humility, and thankfulness fall into decay. The prophet Malachi does not sweep the entire history of Israel, as many of the previous prophets, to gather proofs of God's grace and guidance and love in all the great events from the Egyptian captivity to the Babylonian deliverance. He confines himself to a comparison of Israel with that nation closest akin, their own brother Edom. Malachi continues to give the word of the Lord. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste. Whereas Edom saith, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. The surrounding conditions and their own outlook caused the Israelites to conclude that the Lord did not love them, otherwise things would be different. The prophet points, however, to the fate of Edom, the nation who had betrayed Jerusalem and whose history went all the way back to the rejection of Esau and the choice of Jacob as the heir to the promises of Abraham. Love clearly refers to that election love, and hate to its opposite, and not immoral hatred. It is the rejection from the position of honor. Edom, as events showed, was punished for taking advantage of Judah. If Edom plans to rebuild, God will shatter their illusions. Judah is to take note and rejoice in her God-given privileges. The prophet Malachi thus presents proof of God's love that can be tested in Israel's own experience. When the recipient of God's love fails to see and enter into his love, there can be no testimony given among the nations. Repentance concerning apathy and conversion to new conviction must occur. The Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel, Malachi promises. This beginning of mercy to Israel was the pledge of this continuance. This looks forward to the coming of the message of the covenant, in whom God's love, truth, and grace would be fulfilled, even the Lord Yeshua, in whose love God was complete. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Both the prophet and the psalmist spoke of stumbling or believing. As it is written, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Will you trust him, the true messenger of the covenant?